Well, it's been a great few days. It was cold. It was colder than what we expected it to be, but it was really good to just host over 1,300 people. There's nothing that brings me more joy than going out and seeing my family, my whole family, involved with the Walk of Lights. For those of you that came through, my wife is usually at the front door with Beth greeting, handing out the candy canes, and then my oldest one is a shepherd at the manger scene, worshiping for the Savior was born. And then my middle one yesterday was serving some drinks. He was cold, he told me. And then my youngest one, actually, Zion, obviously he can't really be involved because he's still the baby. But he was out to walk to the lights yesterday, and he loved it. He told me afterwards that we were just going to bed last night. I asked him, how was it? He said, is the Walk of Lights over? Can I go again? And then I said, of course you can go again. And he goes, the sheep was so funny. He was giving a massage to my hand. So that was cute. He was just so overjoyed. It's like, it seems like from last year, his understanding of the story to this year, as he's growing and as he's realizing more and more about what this is about, it seems like he's enjoying it even more as he's growing up. So December, today is December 1st, we're entering into our Christmas season, and obviously the birth of Jesus. Well, it also depends where you're from. If you're from Europe, Jesus was born in January. If you're from North America, Jesus was born, the West, you know, the Catholic Church, obviously, 25th of December. But I remember growing up, and we were celebrating Christmas on the 7th of January. And we still do celebrate the 7th of January. I know some of you here as well do that. But it's the Christmas season. It's the wonderful, joyous season. Lights everywhere. Yes, it is the darker earlier. But that's why we have the lights, to bring up the light in the darkness. And really, honestly, from the lights to the Christmas music to just being together with the family, and then coming to the Walk of Lights on top of all of that, and then you get the full experience of what Christmas is all about, that why we're here. It's because Jesus was born. And I was wondering if you had a wish, one wish for Christmas, what would it be? What would you want to wish for Christmas if you had just one wish? Some of you sitting here this morning might say, well, I would love to finally get married and settle, to get a husband, get a wife, you know. Or I would finally love to have this back pain that I've been having for the past, I don't know how long, just be gone. Or I would finally want to have $1 million. Finally, that would just solve all my issues. Or you may be sitting here, you may be thinking, I would finally want to just be with my family for once at Christmas. We haven't been together in a while. It's been really chaotic. It's been different. And if I was going to ask you that question, I don't know what the answer would be. If I was going to ask people in the world, many people would probably give different answers. If they just had one wish. And I remember growing up and watching those beauty pageant shows. I don't know if you guys have, you know, there's Miss World, Miss This, Miss That. And then they interviewed the ladies and they asked them, what's the one wish that you had? And it almost became a stereotype because we would always joke watching these shows. And we would say, oh, watch, she's going to say the world peace. And of course, one after the other, you know, we all watch it for our countries because, you know, we think, you know, whatever we think with that, we want to support our country. But almost every lady would say, they come to the interview portion, so what would you like? What's the wish? And then she goes, I just want the peace in the world. So everybody, at least those ladies, I thought maybe one of them will say once, I want a husband. I want a good-looking guy. I want someone who's going to take care of me. I want some, you know. But it seems like they all want peace. And sometimes the thing that we really, really want in our life may not really be the thing that we really, really want. Some of you may be sitting this morning and maybe you want to ask the question, what's the one wish you had? And you might thought in your mind, well, I wish I had this and I had this. But really, at the end of the day, I think when it really comes down to it, I would say peace is probably one of the most important things for us humans to have. Peace of mind, peace in our heart, peace in our soul. To know that, you know, to have peace among us, and then peace with those that we love, peace with those that we don't really love, and peace just in general, peace in world. And there's so much happening in this world today. And if you look at just the 2024 and how things have transpired in the world, we had one war after another. We had the crazy elections that happened in the USA. And it seems like everybody's looking and wanting peace. And that's why the theme for our this December, month of December, is the missing peace. The missing peace. And the title today is, Can We Even Find the Missing Peace? Now, the missing peace, you could, maybe when first time I said it, you could have thought P-I-E-C-A. So the piece, like the piece of the puzzle, which is why we kind of have a puzzle there. But it's really, is missing peace, P-E-A-C-E, really the missing piece that we need, P-I-E-C-A? And I think it really is. That's what we are missing in this world, more and more than ever before. And the question then comes up, well, is peace even possible? Can that really happen? I love the Christmas story and how things open up when the angels showed up to the shepherds. And angels showed up and they started singing a song. And the song that they were singing was Glory to God in highest heaven, Luke 2nd chapter 14 verse. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace was the first thing that angels said when they came and Jesus was about to arrive onto the scene. Paul, in many books that he wrote, he would always greet his fellow believers with grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. That was his signature greeting. And I wonder, why didn't he say grace and prosperity? Grace and health. Grace and whatever you want. Grace and whatever you want. No, he said grace and peace to you. And that was his signature greeting. And then even Jesus himself, when he died, he was resurrected. The first thing that he said when he appeared to the disciples, he said this, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Peace. And there's so many scriptures over and over again that talk about this aspect. Don't be afraid. Peace. Don't be afraid. Peace. And it seems like there's a story here that I think we are to try to understand from the Bible. And that is that there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of unrest. And there's a lot of the opposite of peace. I've said this many times. Is anxiety and having this fear inside of you. And it seems like what we really truly need is peace. This morning, I want to ask you, are you feeling like you're missing peace in your life? Can we truly experience the peace? Well, I'm here to tell you that maybe, yes, you can have peace. Yes, you can have peace. And no, maybe you can't have peace. And that really depends on just one thing. And that one thing is what you have your mind fixed upon. It's not really the circumstances that steal our peace and stuff that we have. Although we say, you know, this happened and I don't have peace, and this happened, I don't have peace. But what circumstances do, they just reveal the lack of peace that we already have, that we don't have in our heart. And I believe that we can have peace by fixing our mind on the right thing. So the lack of focus and fixing our mind on the wrong thing produces the missing peace in our life. So Isaiah had this scripture that we're going to focus on this morning that is found in Isaiah 26. And I've shared a little bit about Isaiah last week and how he was the voice in the wilderness speaking of, there was this darkness above the world, over the world, and he was speaking about this light that was about to come enter the world, and was talking about Jesus coming. But even before that, he's talking about this, what was actually missing, and he was talking about what is about to come. And then Isaiah 26, and we're just going to focus on this, there's first verse this morning, first three verses, this is what he says. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The nation that keeps faith. And then verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Another translation says, all those thoughts that are fixed on you, because they trust in you. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And then verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Wow. It doesn't even say you will keep in peace, but he said you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast and fixed on you. It sounds pretty incredible, doesn't it? And it's like it's almost like a little formula how we are to achieve peace. My boys and I, sometimes we just go and rewatch or watch Chosen, and we were just watching the other day Chosen series again, and we were. It was an episode that it was like, I don't even know what the episode was. I think it was season 3 or something. But they were hanging out, and the disciples. They were always actually Peter was very anxious in this one. He was very anxious because something has happened with his wife, and he was just very angry and anxious. Just like Peter was in the scripture, up and down, emotionally, up and down. But then there was a lot of things in that episode that happened, and there was a lot of greetings. And the greeting that they had almost every single time when they saw each other was shalom, shalom. Yes. It wasn't shalom. It was shalom, shalom. And that is really the peace that is talked about here, right in this scripture, where it says perfect peace, which really is shalom, shalom. As Pastor Ken even mentioned in our communion, we didn't talk about this, so this got to be God. what shalom means in Jewish language, and that's how they greet each other in a culture, but what shalom means is wholeness, completeness, and fullness of peace. Fullness of peace. That means nothing is missing. That means it's complete, it's full, it's not loading, it's not like 99%. And then 1%, there's still room for. It's not even 99.9%. It's 100%. Full, whole peace. And that's really what this scripture is actually rooted in, that word shalom, shalom. Imagine you're going to someone, you hang out with someone, and we usually ask each other, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? And then most people say, good. I imagine you go to someone, you ask them, hey, how's it going today? And you go, peace. I feel peace. I think you would throw people off. They'd be like, whoa, okay. You got peace? That's amazing. But now imagine you're going to someone and you ask them, how's your day going? And let's say this person has all kinds of stuff going on in their life and it's really stressful. And they just respond to you. They say, I have perfect peace. Yes. Wow, wouldn't that be so powerful to respond like that? And that really is what God's plan and God's idea is for us to have as Christians. To have not peace, not any kind of peace, but perfect peace. And I'll just give you the answer how to achieve that really simply, and then we'll be done. And here's how you achieve the perfect peace. Well, we have you have to have God in the picture to have that perfect peace. With God in the picture, you can have this perfect peace. Can you have the perfect peace? Shalom, shalom. Yes, you can. But God has to be in the picture. He has to be involved. Now, I said a little bit about what perfect peace is. It's not 991.1, 99.9. But then, does that mean that there's actually imperfect peace? The not-so-good peace? Yes. Yes, there is. The imperfect peace, the non-consistent peace, the one minute I feel this way, and the next minute I feel this way. One minute I'm okay, and the next minute I'm so anxious. That is the imperfect peace. And then Bible actually even mentioned this, and actually Jesus talks about this in John 14:27. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you," which is the shalom, shalom, perfect peace. He says, "I don't give to you as the world gives." So that's the imperfect peace, the one that comes from the world, that they think it's the peace. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus is talking about the perfect peace that he leaves with us, he gives us, and then he's talking about the imperfect peace that the world gives us. So peace that Jesus has left us with isn't the world peace, isn't this imperfect peace. It's not even something that we can look for, and it's not even something that we can find in this world. And a lot of people are trying to find peace in this world, exclude God out of their life and say, "I can find peace. I will look for the peace in this, and I look for the peace in this, and I'm going to look for peace in all these different things," but they will not find it in anything in this world, because the perfect peace only comes when God is involved and he's in the picture. People can have everything in this world, everything you offer them. They can have $1 million in their account right now, deposited. And that still doesn't guarantee they will have peace in their heart. People can have all the fame and all the Instagram followers. They can have 1 billion followers, like Ronaldo. Mr. Ronaldo got on social media, and he got he's the only person in the world that has 1 billion followers. That's the, by the way, Ronaldo is a soccer player. He's not the best, but he's there. He's on social media. He has 1 billion followers. I can tell you right now, I don't know how his spiritual life is, but I can guarantee that if he doesn't have God in his life, he doesn't have peace. He can have 1 billion followers, and he can have all the fame and everybody, and he'll post a video on YouTube. He'll just get on YouTube, and he'll have 100 million subscribers within 2 days. Everybody follows this guy. Everybody loves this guy. But that doesn't give him peace. So we can have everything that we want in this life, but it does not guarantee us peace. Perfect peace, that perfect whole peace. So true peace in this scripture is, if we read it and if we believe it, true peace comes when we shift our focus to the right things. And peace only comes when thing that we're focusing on changes. What does that actually mean? If I was going to ask you a question this morning and you'd be really honest with me, the question would be, what is your mind fixed on? What are you fixing on? What are you thinking about? But truly, really, what are you thinking about? Maybe not right now, but just in general, over the past week, what is your mind fixed on? Where is your mind? Where is your focus? Does it wander too much? Are you worried too much about this and about that? Do you think too much about what is happening all around you and this world and the uncertainty and the wars and the politics and the bills? And you know, there's too many things to be thinking about that we can be thinking about right now. And I realized, I said it many times, that the battle for our peace always begins in our mind. It always begins right here in our mind. See, every anxious thought, every fear, every single thing that takes our peace away starts right here in our mind. Right here in our mind, which also the Bible refers to as our heart. Many people try to have peace and they try to live in peace, but they focus on everything that is not good and they expect to have peace. Everything that's not of God, everything that's not spiritual, and they expect to have peace. It says we fix our thoughts. And that really is a simple formula for you to have peace today. It is not complicated. We try to make it complicated. Sometimes we do. And, you know, fix your mind on the good things. Okay, but I have this and I have that. No, fix your mind. Oh, but this and that. But what about this and what about that? This is the truth that works, and Isaiah told us, you will keep their mind in perfect peace when their thoughts are fixed on you. So, read another scripture in Philippians 4:8 through, and this is what the Bible says about how do we achieve this true peace and what our mind should be focusing on instead of what we're focusing on if we don't have peace. And this is what it says. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Then the God of peace will be with you. Think about what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. If you are focusing on these things, it says right here the promise, the God of peace will be with you. Shalom, shalom, will be with you. So Pastor David, you're really saying that I can have this perfect peace? That I can, it can actually be with me in my heart right now? Yes, 100%. But it depends on what your mind is focused on, where your mind is. If you don't have perfect peace, here's why. Number one, lies. Lies, and it's lies, and it's just lies. Every problem, every sin, every wrongdoing, every evil that has ever been done in this world began with a lie. And what is the lie? The lie of the enemy. Lie that someone hates you, someone who hates you, and that's the enemy. Lie from someone that doesn't want the best for you, who doesn't care about you, who actually wants you to fail. That's the enemy of your soul. He doesn't have anything good in store for you. The enemy is called, actually, his name in the Bible is the father of all lies. And he's a deceiver also. That's what he was called to. He's a smooth talker. He can talk very smooth. He has the ability to convince you to believe the lies before you even turn to the truth. And he will actually, matter of fact, he'll take the truth, and then what he's going to do with the truth, he's going to twist the truth. And he's going to make you to believe not this, but something else about what God actually said. And that's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. You see, what he does so well, as a father of lies, he takes the lies and he lies to us. And what lie does, it robs us of God's perfect peace. What lie does, it imprisons us and it robs us of God's perfect plan for us, which is the perfect peace. God has a perfect plan for you, and they involve perfect peace. But do you actually believe that with your heart? Or are you maybe too far gone believing lies that the enemy has been lying to you over and over and over again? Every problem that we ever face with ourselves or with other people, every negative experience, every sin, every hurt, every pain, every suffering, every broken relationship starts with a lie. Lie that God is not enough, lie that he's not there for you, and lie that God can't. He cannot do anything for you. And Adam and Eve, I was basically twisting the truth. But when Satan came to them, he said, "Do you really believe that? You can be gods too." He twisted the truth, and then what that actually really meant for them in their picture was that God is not really all they need. They can also be gods, and that God will fail them, and that he's not going to meet all their needs because they can also be gods. It was a lie that caused the humanity to enter into the big fall. Do you believe this too? Or do you believe the truth of God's word? The truth is, God loves us. The truth is, he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to come down to become like one of us so that he can show us the way to live and he can save us from ourselves and our sin. The truth is that God has the best plan for us, and God is perfectly enough for everything that we need in this life. His presence is all that we need, and the truth is God can. God, C-A-N. The enemy say, no, God can't do that. But the truth is, God can do that. And the only one that will say no, you can't, is the actual enemy of your soul. So who do you believe? Do you believe the truth, which is God's word, or do you believe the lie of the enemy? If you don't have perfect peace, here's another reason why you don't have perfect peace. First one was the lie. Second one is the negativity or doubt. And positivity is not just a feeling. It's really a mindset. It's all about the mind. It's how you see God, how you see the world around you and the people around you. It's when we say, well, I don't really know that's going to happen. I doubt God can actually do that. I don't know if really God is in this. It's when we say, I don't really know if God has a purpose in this, if his plan is going to come about. I doubt God can turn this around. He or she, they're just too far gone. And Peter spoke on this a few weeks ago. Do we see God through the lens of faith or fear? Do we see God through the lens? Do we see God and everything that's happening around us through the lens of negativity? Through the lens of maybe your past negative experiences that you had? And maybe we've had too many negative experiences where you had your trust broken, you were disappointed, you this happened and that happened, and then you sudden built this this negative mindset, the negativity, and you just came to this conclusion that I'd just rather be negative than positive because I've been disappointed way too many times. It's been like this before, so you know what? It's gonna happen again. I've already been waiting too long and it's never gonna change. I won't hope too much. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you, like that even song said that we sang, who are we to even think that God is not able, that he's not capable, that God is not all-powerful, that he's not enough, that who are we to even think that the God of all creation can't do something and can't change something in our own life, in our own circumstances? Who are we to even think that? God can. And the third reason why we don't have the perfect peace, and this one may be a little too close to home for us, is reality. And when I say reality is I may not have what I need right now. The reality is I may be sick right now. The reality is I may be facing this situation. I'm going through this really hard time. Reality is all of these things, but that is why we as Christians, we have faith. Because faith is not what we see and what is the reality right in front of us, but it is a thing that we don't see. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That's where faith comes in. In 2 Corinthians, he says that we live by faith. We don't live by sight. And some of us, yes, have faith, maybe not big faith. We have small faith. But as we take a step of faith and one step at a time, what happens is as we active faith, we see God move and then our faith grows. And then I take another step and then our faith grows even more. And as we follow God and His Spirit that's leading us, we see that when we have faith, the reality is that God is bigger than anything that we see and experience in this life right now. Reality is that these feelings that we may have, they're real. And, you know, whether it's the fear and the anxiety and all the things that you may be thinking about, you may be fixating on, and, you know, I don't have a job and I don't have this yet and this and this needs to happen and this is happening. The reality is, yes, these are all real things, but that's not the truth. The truth is that God is bigger than anything that you are facing right now. And also the truth is that even the feelings and the emotions that you may be feeling inside of you, the truth is God is bigger than those feelings. He's bigger than those emotions. He's bigger than those fears. The reality is that you right now in this moment, you may not know how things are going to turn around, how things are going to get better, that this situation is just not the way I imagine it to be, but the reality is that God is bigger than any situation that we are in right now. That's the reality. He's bigger than any mountain. He's bigger than any uncertainty. He's bigger than any fear, because it says here, "You will keep in perfect peace all those whose thoughts are fixed on you." Wow. Another translation says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast." And really, this steadfastness, what this word actually means in Hebrew language is when you are relying, it's like you're leaning on someone. I remember when we had babies, when our boys were smaller, babies, there was this, you know, I don't know which one it was. It was multiple times. It happened over again. They were so anxious and crying, and I don't know. They didn't eat. They didn't poop, or I don't know. All these things were happening and all at once, you know. And then you just lay down, and I just had one of my boys on me, and they're just leaning on me, and they just calm down, and they just stop. And it's like they feel that they feel my love. They feel my peace. I'm transferring my peace onto them, and I'm praying for them, and I'm singing with them, and they just calm. Right there. And that really what this word really means, the steadfastness, is when you just lean on God, your Father, and you just can feel that, you can draw that peace from Him, that it's going to be okay. God is with me. I think what needs to happen is our talk and the way we speak also needs to change. And I put this in your notes, that we need to change your talk from "if only I" to "only God can," because what we try to happen sometimes, we try to, in our own strength, in our own energy, we try to manufacture this peace, which only really comes from God. It's not in our own effort. It's not what we have to do. If I only do this, if I just had this happen, if I just achieve this, if only I, there's no such thing. You involve God. You say, "God can do this. God can. God is with me. God, only God can turn this situation around. Only God can provide a job for me. Only God can help me go through this. Only God can sustain me. Only God can carry me through this hard season." And this peace that we're talking about, that the Bible is talking about, is not a guarantee that we're going to have a life free of troubles. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Have peace, because I have overcome this world." That's what Jesus says. And that tells us that we will have trouble, we will have struggle, we will have uncertainty, but we know that God's peace can go with us and before us. And the reality is that peace is not found in the absence of problems, But true peace is found in the presence of God. True peace is found in the presence of God. It's in His presence right now, in this moment, that we can have perfect peace. Not in thinking about the past or even about the future and all the things that are coming up. Not all the things that have happened or didn't happen, and this should have been like that, that should have been like that, or this better be happening like this or else. In a storm, in uncertainty, we can have peace. And I love the story. I'm going to finish slowly with this story of Jesus being in a boat. And that really is the true representation of what it means to have peace. Jesus being in a boat, out with the disciples on the lake, and the storm rolled in. And disciples were furious and they were fearful that they're going to drown. But then Jesus is there on the boat sleeping as if nothing is happening. We have two pieces here. We have the external chaos, external peace, well, not so much peace, external chaos, and then we have a picture of Jesus' internal peace that he had, that everything was going to be okay. And they start waking Jesus up. They say, "Jesus, wake up, we're going to die." And Jesus just stands up like, "What? Why are you guys afraid?" And then Jesus just speaks. He says, "Peace, be still." And the storm just comes down. And what this story really represents is in our own life, we can be like disciples multiple times, pacing back and forth and getting ourselves in this mindset, in this negativity and lies and believing all these things, and we can be running in circles and we can say this and we can say that and what if that and what if that happens, but then we forget that Jesus is right there with us in the storm and he's able to just speak a word and say, "Peace, be still." We try to do everything in our own strength. Oh, I can do this. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and the peace is going to come. No, no, no. Just wake up, Jesus. Which means you wake up because Jesus is not sleeping. Wake up. Make yourself aware of Jesus who's with you in a storm and let him take care of the storm. Let him speak peace. And Paul concludes in Philippians, he says this, and I'll just finish with this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation," that means in every circumstance you are in right now, jobless, relationship is broken, this is like that, how is this going to work out? "Every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God," shalom, shalom, "will transcend all understanding. The transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do not be anxious about anything, but just give it to God, and he will take your fears and your anxieties and replace it with peace. Wow. In pain, in suffering, in hardships, in divorce, in separation, in singleness, in whatever it is that you're feeling this uncertainty, God can give you this peace that transcends all understanding if you fix your mind on him. When my dad, most of you know the story, my dad got sick a few years ago, well, 2 years ago. It was 2021 October. Beginning of October, he got sick and then ended up in a hospital. And he was just like most of you know, we were praying. It was like he was in a coma, then he was out of coma, but then he wasn't able to move, he wasn't able to respond, and those 6 months were really probably the worst 6 months of my life, if I can put it that way. But I remember those times, multiple times, having anxiety, having fears, and having what will happen. But then I also remember majority of the time I actually was able to experience perfect peace because I was not focused on what was happening right in front of me, the reality of the situation, but I was focusing on God, and I was focusing on his goodness. I was focusing on his faithfulness. I was focusing on God's love. I was focusing on God's plan. I was focusing on whatever I needed to focus on. I was fixing my mind on God's promises. That's what I was doing. And then through those 6 months that were really hard, I was able to experience shalom, shalom, multiple times over because my mind was not fixed on what was right in front of me. But my mind was fixed on Christ and God and His promises. And I was praying and I was seeking God. And at the end of all of that whole experience, I realized there was days when I could have been really fearful and anxious. And there was a few of those days, but most of those days I had the peace of God in my heart because I knew that God was in control. I knew that God loves me. I had to fight those lies. You see, God doesn't love you anymore. See what's happening to your dad. I had the lies, all kinds of lies going through my mind, but I didn't let any of those lies take over me. I just believe that God's truth, and I believe that God was working things good no matter what's happening. I knew that He was with me. I knew that He was never going to leave me. And it was possible for me to have peace. So I'm here to encourage you that whatever you are facing today, you can have that perfect peace. You just have to fix your mind on God and His promises and His truth. Amen? Why don't we just all stand as I close in prayer? What I want to do is, you may be even here today and you may be listening online, you may be even thinking, I don't have peace with God. I don't have peace of God in my heart. And I want to include God into my picture and I want to experience this peace. And I'm here to tell you, you can have peace with God today. You can have peace with God every single day of your life until the day when God calls you home. You can have peace with God. And oftentimes, and what really cross represents, is our relationship with God, right? That vertical, and then we have that horizontal, we have the peace with each other. And I think I've said this before, we almost can't even experience that perfect peace if our relationship with God is not in a right standing, if we don't have a peace of God in our heart. So that's the first thing that has to happen in our life. We need to get back into that peace with God first. And then we can have peace with others as well. So what I want to do is I want to pray for all of you this morning. And if you don't have peace with God today, you can pray and you can invite Him to come into your life. You can say, God, be my peace. I need You in my life. I need You right now. Only God can give us peace that we've been missing. Only He can provide what we are missing. So Jesus, this morning, we thank You. We come to You today. And we're grateful that even when we were far away from You, You came for us to save us and to also give us peace. You died on the cross for us. You resurrected for us so that we may have peace. We thank You, God, for the gift of salvation. We thank You, God, for the gift of peace that only comes from You. And I pray, Father God, where there is fear right now, that You would bring confidence. I pray where there is worry right now, that You would bring calm. I pray where there is brokenness, that You would bring healing. I pray where there is uncertainty and anxiety, that You would bring shalom, shalom. We need Your perfect peace, Jesus. And we thank You for Your perfect peace. I pray that the peace of Christ would fill this room, fill every heart in this room, fill every heart that's, for everybody that's watching even online. I pray that Your peace would immerse us and fill us right now. And that we would be different people because of it, because of Your peace, Your perfect, whole, amazing peace. We give You praise, we give You honor, and we thank You for taking care of us. We thank You for taking care of us, all of our needs and all of our concerns. And whatever we have, Father God, everything that we're going through, we know that in every situation You can give us peace. And we know that You're working everything for our good. So we give You praise and we give You honor. I speak a blessing and I speak peace, grace and peace over this congregation.